The folk her follow, weeping in her way, and fortune, aye, they cursen as they go, but she from weeping kept her iron dry. Nor in this time word ne spoke she none. Her father, that this tiding heard anon, curseth the day and time that nature showed him to be a live creature. For out of doubt this old poor man was ever suspect of her marriage, for ever he deemed, since that it began, that when the Lord fulfilled had his courage, him would think it were a disparage to his estate so low for to alight, and voiden her as soon as ever he might. Against his daughter hastily goes he, for he by noise of folk knew her coming, and with her old coat, as it might be, he covered her, full sorrowfully weeping. But on her body might he not it bring, for rude was the cloth, and more of age by days fell than at her marriage. Thus, with her father, for a certain space, dwelleth this flower of wifely patience, that neither by her words nor by her face before the folk, nor eke in their absence, ne showed she that her was done offence, nor of her high estate no remembrance ne had she, as by her countenance. No wonder is, for in her great estate her ghost was ever in plain humility. No tender mouth, no heart delicate, no pomp, no semblance of royalty, but full of patient benignity, discreet and prideless, aye honourable, and to her husband ever meek and stable. Men speak of Job, and most for his humbleness, as clerks when them list can well indite namely of men, but as in soothfastness, though clerks praise women but a light, there can no man in humbleness him acquit as woman can, nor can be half so true as women been, but it befall of new.
In part 6, Griselda is ordered to return and prepare the palace for the wedding feast of the new bride. She obeys again, this time with happy results. At the end of the tale, the clerk tells us what the story does and does not mean. With a sly reference to the wife of Bath, he composes an ironic manifesto urging wives to strike back with their piercing tongues against domineering husbands.